Sometimes in churches, we've tried to attract and draw people with gimmicks. And maybe it works sometimes. But really what we need to be doing is attracting people with the love of Christ and the message of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that in a way that gets their attention more so than the gimmicks and the gags and the treats and whatever?
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
Thank you.
Today's scripture lesson is going to come from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. From Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and from Sosthenes, our brother in the Christian faith, to God's church that was made holy by Christ Jesus and called to be God's holy people in the city of Corinth, and to people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Goodwill and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are yours. I always thank God for you because Christ Jesus has shown you God's goodwill. Through Christ Jesus, you have become rich in every way, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Our message about Christ has been verified among you. Therefore, you don't lack any gift as you will wait eagerly for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will continue to give you strength until the end so that no one can accuse you of anything on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God faithfully keeps his promises. He called you to be partners with the Son Jesus Christ, our Lord.
This text that we're about to hear comes from Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verses 1 through 11. And over in Luke, the story is told again. It's about three verses in the book of Mark, and it gets no mention at all in John. But it's as though this is one of the stories that Jesus tells about his own journey. It was so significant and so powerful in his own life that he wanted the disciples and those who would follow him to hear about it and to know what it would mean to be tempted, to be tested, to be tried, if you will, because he would be tried. And he would be sent to the most ultimate cause of punishment ever, not just to be punished, but that you and I might have life and have it abundantly. So hear these words from Matthew, beginning with chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus up to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And again Jesus said to him, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And the devil said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And then the devil left him, and suddenly the angels came and waited upon him. This is the word of God. One of the lines in my talk on Obstacles to Grace in the Emmaus Weekend goes like this: God's grace is greater than all of the sin that we can possibly commit in our life. Let me repeat that. God's grace is greater than all of the sin that we can possibly commit in our lifetime. Now, if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to take that one home with you. All right? Because you see, we're all tested, we're all tempted. Those little silver pieces of candy, they're actually not silver, they're brown inside. Some of them have almonds, some of them have white chocolate in them. You can just imagine what they all look like in your own imagination, which one tickles your fancy. Right now, they're out in the stores in, I think, in pink and red and other colors. Imagine Valentine's Day. They came out day after Christmas, I think it was, or at least the day after New Year. I discovered that about the 6th of January, you can't find anything left over for Christmas. Even if it says it's marked off at 90% off, there ain't anything there, so don't ever try to go get it because it's gone. Did that last week. I discovered it doesn't work. But anyway, we're all tempted, we're all tested, and we're all tried. The challenge is, how does that shake out in the long run of our faith? It's different to just be tempted. It's those little things. But the tempting is really not tempting. It's really more about testing. It's about how God calls us into his presence and how the world calls us into the presence. And how do we sort out those things and how does God come out on top in the end? You see, in this story, Jesus is faced with three different temptations. But the first thing we have to understand is that Jesus goes out into the desert after he has been baptized and God has called him and said, now's the time. Now's for you the time for you to begin your public ministry. And he has said to him, well, beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And so Jesus sets out to go into the desert and to spend time alone. And he spends 40 days. Interestingly enough, the same period of days that we spend in preparation for the season of Easter, a time in which we encourage ourselves to commit to a time of fasting and prayer. Being alone with God, examining ourselves, examining our human condition, examining who we are in the light of the cross, and what Christ has done and will continue to do for us. And so Jesus sets the example. He's not yet in Matthew called the disciples, so he's already setting up a pattern of being alone with himself and probably spending time with God. Out in the desert, if you know a place where there is absolutely nothing outside of Palestine, when you make your way from the Galilean region of Tiberias and make your way to Jerusalem, you leave the green valley and immediately you find yourselves in dust and barren land where it is hot and dry and not a place you want to be if you're thirsty and you're hungry. But that's where Jesus went. And after those 40 days, the devil came. And he was weak and he was vulnerable. And so the devil uses the first temptation of attraction. Attract people. Take those stones down there that probably looked a lot like loaves of bread and turn them into bread. That'll be an attraction for people. So the question for us is, how does the devil use the temptations of attraction for us? Does he entice us with things? Does he bring things around us that would cause us to think about what an attracting thing that might be? Something might be that would be more important than our relationship with God. When is God used? When does the devil use attraction to get your attention? Notice I'm having a little trouble keeping God and the devil separate. Because for me, God just comes out first. One of the interesting things we have in Emmaus is we have 15 talks. And the very first talk is talk about priorities. Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? And where do you spend your energy? But there's nothing in that talk that refers in any way, shape, or form to God. So that we can begin to think about what is most important to us. So is time an attraction to us? How I spend my time, has that become my attraction in life as opposed to my relationship with God? Does my money become an attraction? My ability to make money, my ability to have money, my ability to want money, does that become an attraction? How do I spend my skills in that time? So Jesus could have turned those rocks into bread, and that would have been an attraction for those who might have been watching. Sometimes in churches, we've tried to attract and draw people with gimmicks. And maybe it works sometimes. But really what we need to be doing is attracting people with the love of Christ and the message of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that in a way that gets their attention more so than the gimmicks and the gags and the treats and whatever? So then the devil says to him, well, let me show you something else. Let me have you go up to the top of the temple. If we were to go on to Jerusalem and go over to Solomon's portico, there's a very tall building upon which the top stands about 40-some feet in the air. In the day when the rabbis would go up on that corner at the beginning of the day and blow the shofar to announce the beginning of the day, the devil took Jesus to that very point and said, jump off of here and I'll protect you. Show off. Show off who you are and what you can do. And that'll surely attract people. What Jesus did was not jump off a building. He went to the cross. But he didn't go to the cross to show off. He went to the cross to save us from our temptations, to save us from our tests, to save us from our trials. He didn't need to jump off of a 40-foot corner of a temple. And then the devil said, okay, let's go back out to the desert. Let me show you all that you can have. Jesus didn't need anything. He already had it. But let me show you what I can offer you and see what you think then. And Jesus' words to him were, "Get away from me, for you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus had no intention of serving the devil, had no intention of serving Satan, had no intention of serving anybody else but God the Father. We're challenged in our own lives with temptations. There are little tests, like those Hershey's Kisses and those pads of ink and other things that get in our way. Those are the minor ones. We want to talk about the bigger ones. The bigger ones that ruin relationships, the bigger ones that cause potential crisis in our families, the ones that cause ruination of marriages, the ones that cause medical issues that where we haven't taken care of ourselves, trials and tests that cause other kinds of things that put us out of our relationship with God at some time. Now, I'm not saying that illness does that. I want to be careful about that. But there are places in our life where we take charge and we take hold of our relationship with God and move God into the back seat, as I call it. And we need to allow God to be firmly in the front seat of our passenger car, our spiritual automobile. Allow him to power that automobile. Us to be the passenger. Spend time with him. Listen to him. Not mean we're not going to be tempted. Doesn't mean we're going to be tried. We will. But as the song that the choir said today, will we trust and obey? Will we learn to lean into God's understanding? Will we learn to lean into his direction and his guidance? Won't be easy. Whoever said it would be. But if we understand God has more to offer us than all the things that the world has and the challenges that will come up to us, God's grace will be our prize and be our goal and will be our present for now and into the future. So know that God's grace is greater than all the tests and all the temptations life has to offer. Amen. Thank you. There'll be a temptation, there'll be a trial this week. We don't know what it will be. But if you trust and lean into Jesus Christ, He will be with you if you will seek Him and trust Him for your life. Go in peace, and may God be your friend this day and always. Amen.
The church is one foundation.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.